Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, this is classic. This is a ton of fun. Have you guys seen this AI action figure trend? A bunch of people in Montana, I'm starting to see a bunch of Montanans now create their own action figure. And they're using AI, artificial intelligence, ChatGPT in order to do so. And so it looks just like the toys that I would get as a kid. You know, if you wanted to go get your John Elway action figure or your G.I. Joe action figure, you know, in the with the plastic case, and you'd have the G.I. Joe with the accessories like the gun and the helmet and the body armor, or maybe for John Jackson, it was the Barbie doll with the purse and the fantasy shoes and everything. He's a big Barbie guy. We'll ask him about that tomorrow. No, I'm kidding, of course. But you get the point. Well, so now with AI, you can upload a photo of yourself or someone else and include the accessories that would be included in this action figure toy set, and it will create the image. And it's pretty hysterical. I saw Congressman Ryan Zinke, his staff was playing around with this AI feature. So, of course, now he's got action figure written all over him. He played football at Whitefish High. He was a Navy SEAL who served as a commander at SEAL Team 6. And if you remember, when I did our show from his office on Capitol Hill, he showed me his whole knife collection. And he's got a great knife collection, including, of course, the V-42. Which traces its lineage back to the 1st Special Service Force at Fort Harrison, Montana in World War II. So they created this action figure set for Commander Zinke with all the knives and everything, and it was really cool. Now, my friends Russell Nimitz and Lane Nordland with the Western Egg Network, they just shared some hilarious action figure sets for them and their great camera guy, Paul Humphrey. So it's fun to see all these. I think even the Stock Growers or Farm Bureau or somebody shared one of some of their leadership as well. And it's fun to see. It's fun to watch. But the BBC is warning you. The BBC has a warning. Everyone's jumping on the AI doll trend. But what are the concerns? The BBC asks. Apparently, they're saying that, hey, you guys got to stop having all that fun. You can't be using these AI tools because those AI tools consume a lot of energy. Oh, yeah, that's right. See, they can consume all the energy they want. We're covering the globe. We're going to Africa. We're going to whatever tennis match they're going to. They get to use all the energy in the world. But now that you want to have a little fun using AI, oh, you guys can't do that. Uses too much electricity. But yeah, they're saying this. This professor from Queen Mary University, London, says that the data centers used to power this consume more electricity in a year than 117 countries. Wow. Yep. So, once again, though, they have no problem consuming that energy for themselves. They just don't want you to use these tools and have a little fun.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
President Trump told me and others during the campaign that he wasn't interested in retribution, only success. But the moves he just made against two of his own former aides from the first term suggest that's not entirely true. One of them is Miles Taylor, better known as Anonymous, the guy who wrote a New York Times op-ed without his name, ripping the president. And certainly, President Trump is entitled to hit back. But he's ordered the Justice Department to conduct a criminal investigation of Miles Taylor. The other is Chris Krebs, who was the cybersecurity chief in the first term. His sin, according to Trump, and he's also now under criminal investigation, is not to go along with the notion that the 2020 election was stolen. His own probe showed that it wasn't stolen. So this is getting a lot of coverage because even if they're not convicted of anything, you got to hire a lawyer at great expense. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I think I was viewing some of these AI action figures on Saturday morning and afternoon while we were hanging out at a volleyball tournament out in Shepherd on Saturday. And that's when I spotted this BBC headline, because I was seeing all these action figures, and then I'm like, oh man, how do you make these? How do you do them? Okay, so it sounds like what people were doing is you have to have the paid version. You have to have a subscription to ChatGPT. And so I'm like, okay, that's the last thing I need or want is another subscription. But anyway, so then what you do, you go into ChatGPT, you upload a photo, and you write a prompt. You describe what you want the action figure to look like, pose, facial expression, what types of clothes, what types of accessories, what packaging, etc. And then you tell it what to create. And it will create your AI action figure toy box, complete with all the accessories and everything else. And so anyway, I was trying to figure out, how does everybody do this? So then I start, you know, doing some searching online to see what people are using and all of that. And that's when I spot this article about the BBC. Oh, be careful about using AI. It uses a lot of electricity. It's like, yeah, everything we do requires energy. And I remember I was walking into the high school and I saw the Shepherd High School bus out front. Man, those school buses use a lot of energy. I mean, what are they going to do next? Are they going to lecture us all? Well, stop sending your kids to school. The carbon footprint is far too large, and they're going to tell you not to send your. I mean, how much? What is the carbon footprint just of sending kids to school every day? Whether it's individual mom and dad driving them to and from school, or buses driving them back and forth. So then I got to thinking about it. I was like, okay, if they're lecturing us, hey, you guys, don't be using AI to create these AI action figures, because if you do that, it's going to require a lot of electricity. It's going to require a lot of energy. Well, first off, the fun that people are having with AI is what builds out these AI platforms and what allows the AI programs to do better and to continue to improve. And AI is what our country needs when it comes to a national security perspective. I mean, the Chinese, the Russians, they're all, you know, they're in an AI race right now because they know that AI can also be a critical national security tool. Or a military tool as well. And so our nation can't afford to get behind in the AI race. But yeah, I was seeing that Shepherd school bus out there, and I was like, huh, they must be doing baseball now or something, because maybe the school bus was headed off or something else. But I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. And how fun is it now that in addition to Legion baseball, there's high school baseball teams that are starting to pop up across the state. In fact, our producer, Caden, he's been an umpire for several of the games already, and he had a write-up on our Montana Talks website. I think he's working on another one, and so that's really fun. That's exciting. Oh, but then comes the BBC lecture. Oh, but those school buses and those teams, they use a lot of electricity. Okay, spare us the lecture. And I got to thinking about it. Let's just take video games. I mean, video games have been around since I was a kid in the 1980s. That's when Nintendo got huge. I mean, I was so excited when I saw that Nintendo under the Christmas tree. It was like, holy cow, we actually got a Nintendo, right? And then my Uncle Big Dave squatted down in the prone position playing Duck Hunt with us in my grandma and grandpa's living room. How much electricity is consumed by video games each day? Now, for what it's worth, I threw that question to Grok, which is the AI platform embedded in X. That's what Twitter is now that Elon Musk took it over and turned it into a free speech platform instead now. So how many coal-fired power plants would you need to produce enough power just to power video games that people play? Now, this was a 2018 study. A 2018 study estimated that PC, this is computer game, P, PC gaming alone consumed about 75 billion kilowatt hours annually worldwide. That's equivalent to roughly 205 million kilowatt hours per day. That doesn't even include consoles or mobile gaming. So that doesn't even include cell phones or like Xboxes and PlayStations and things like that. For context, in the U.S., gaming, which is PCs and consoles, was estimated to use around 34 terawatt hours per year in 2016. I'm assuming it's even higher than that now. So how many coal-fired power plants would you need in order to power just video games alone, let alone everything else we need that relies on electricity? A standard coal-fired power plant with a capacity of 500 megawatts operating at a 60% capacity factor, that accounts for downtime and efficiency. For 300 million kilowatt hours, you would need about 42 coal-fired power plants. For 600 million kilowatt hours, you'd need about 83 coal-fired power plants. So you're looking at anywhere from 42 to 83 coal-fired power plants just to power video games, not to mention everything else that we do and use on a day-to-day basis by using electricity. And yet look at these people who still want to play games by shutting down natural gas plants, coal-fired power plants, hydropower in the Pacific Northwest. Look at the virtue signaling that's out there on this topic on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, it's just incredible. Anyway, we've got phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. We've got Ron in Big Fork and Tim in Billings and some phone lines for you. 294-0970. Back with Montana Talks right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Tim and Billings, stay with us. He wants to talk about the BBC and electricity and energy and more. So stand by. We'll get to you. But first up, we've got Ron in Big Fork. Hey, Ron, what's on your mind this morning? Good to hear from you.
Good morning. Once we get up in Kalispell, we had one of our, I consider a liberal judge, Heidi Albrecht. We got this guy by Jacob Michael Crone, who in January of 24 was telephone calls were coming into the police. He's waving a 10 millimeter Glock at a bunch of motorists. He pulled up alongside of a mother with her son in a vehicle, and he pointed the gun at them. So this guy gets arrested. He's drunk. He has a Glock with him. And I'm not anti-gun. I've been a shooter since I've been about 6 years old. But the prosecutor and the judge agreed to a suspended sentence. This is absolutely nuts. This happens at least once or twice a month in Kalispell. Some wacko is waving a gun around. And what worries me is somebody's going to return fire one of these days, and somebody innocent is going to get hurt or killed. These judges have got to go next election, and I'm really on a warpath about this, I'll tell you. I prefer to go to Pulse and the food shop and rather than Kalispell anymore. It's getting to be Wild West up in Kalispell.
Well, that's a major problem. I mean, that's why we've also got to, I don't know that particular case and the reasoning for why they've you know, put somebody back out on the streets or let somebody back out on the streets. But what we're seeing and so often, and Ron, thanks for the call. What we're seeing so often is that they're saying, well, the jails are full and the prison's full. So we're just going to let some of these offenders back out on the streets while they, you know, whatever. Right. So that's why, you know, as much as people are leery of spending in Helena, there is some spending that's going to have to occur, and expanding our prison capacity is one of them. We've got to expand our prison capacity because part of the reason why our jails are full right now is because, A, we've got too many re-offenders re-offending, but, B, it's harder to move the people out of the jails and into the prison system when there isn't enough space. And so I know sometimes they have been using space in jails as an excuse for allowing some criminals back out onto the streets. Ron, and then I would just say when it comes to judges in general, that's why we need some of these judicial reform measures as well. I know I've seen some empty parking lot spaces in front of the Montana Supreme Court during business hours. It's like, oh, I thought you guys were so busy. And you need so much more money for the judicial system because you just don't have enough people and you don't have enough time. Well, why aren't you guys doing your time as Supreme Court justices, judging by the empty spaces in the parking lot? Our friend Jake Eaton had posted that on X here recently. And maybe a similar question for some district court judges as well. If you guys need more resources, why aren't you using the resources that you got? Tim and Billings next up. Tim, what do you think about the AI action figure trend that's going on right now and the BBC warning about electricity consumption?
Well, I've seen the action figure things, and I can't really comment on that. I don't think anybody wants to see an action figure of me. It would be more of an inaction figure. But
I want to see it.
The BBC.
I want to see it because you'd have a hockey stick for one of your accessories. You'd have the Constitution for one of your. What other accessories would you have if we're going to make a Tim and Billings action figure, the Freedom Fighter Tim and Billings action figure?
Well, I just told a coworker the other day. He asked what kind of hobbies I enjoyed. I said hobbies. I said I have three kids in sports. I don't have hobbies like. I used to have hobbies. I don't have time for hobbies anymore.
Yeah, I
have kids.
My hobby is sitting at a volleyball tournament all day Saturday. That's my hobby. And then it's football games and in the fall and track meets in between and whatever, right?
I am the chauffeur and the accounts payable department.
In fact, you want to create an AI action figure for me, it's got to be me holding my wife's purse, holding my daughter's coffee, getting hit in the face with the volleyball. You know, there's your AI action. It's your dad action figure. That's about it right there, you know.
If I could get that thing to earn a second wage for me, like the movie Multiplicity, I'm all over it. But right now, I got my hands full.
Yeah, there we go.
So the BBC, you know, they're not really concerned about carbon footprint or electricity usage. They're concerned about, man, if we have a whole nation of kids and people that are active, they're not slugs tied to a screen, they've unplugged from the matrix, they're a lot less compliant and a lot less easy to control. You know, that's what they really don't like, is that you might have people that, you know, when you tell them to put on the mask, they'll tell you to stick it up your rear end. You know, that's what they're concerned with. Here's a question for you to ask, Rock Aaron. How much electricity did it take to create these dire wolves, and how much carbon footprint are all of these extinct animals that they're going to bring back? You know, what is their carbon footprint going to be on the Earth? Because if that's such a great idea, let's have an apples-to-apples conversation about it. If we can't have cows, why can we have dire wolves?
Yeah, I mean, that was a great point. Like, we had a caller from Moore, Montana last week. He was responding to this story by Time Magazine about how these scientists, and Tim, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. He was talking about these scientists that basically, I'm going to butcher the science behind it, but basically they took 10,000-year-old remains of a dire wolf and they used DNA and other things to basically recreate, to pull this, they claim, to pull this species out of extinction from 10,000 years ago. So it raises one question, which is like, I guess we don't need an Endangered Species Act anymore, right? I mean, that one of our listeners threw that question out there, if nothing can truly be extinct. But yeah, they didn't worry about AI and electricity consumption when recreating a dire wolf, or they didn't worry about energy consumption when Hollywood actors and John Kerry and George Soros and all these guys fly in their private jets to go to their climate change conference. But all of a sudden, you want to have a little bit of fun with AI, and now they got to warn you about electricity consumption. See, when we, the people, want to enjoy things, they got to figure out a way to tell you no, but they get to do whatever they want. Great point. Tim, thanks for the call. Clint in Bozeman next up. Clint, great to hear from you.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you, Aaron. I haven't called for a few days. Been under the weather a little bit.
Well, sorry to hear.
Yeah, well, anyway, I just want to say hello to my friends down at the Treasurer's Office in Bozeman and the folks at Caterpillar here in Bozeman. But what I called about was this. You were talking about electricity and how much it takes to run cell phones and telephones. It all depends on the amperage that they draw. I want to say that. And the next thing I want to say is this. Our legislature is over there in Helena, and they're about to quit here pretty quick. And us folks here in the Gallatin Valley are taxed to death. And I think you folks down there in Billings are, too. And what
pretty
we need
much
is
everywhere
tax
across
relief.
The state, yep.
And what we've got here in Bozeman, as you know, you've been here, is all these high-rise apartment houses and stuff that were being built. And my banker friend told me that most of these are being built by corporate money. And I believe that's right. And what's happening here, you'd think more that these buildings are being up and the more taxes are going to collect would be less taxes that we'd have to pay and we'd have more taxes. And why in the hell are they going to raise our taxes again?
Yeah,
that's my question.
Exactly. Look at the growth in Bozeman and Gallatin County. They have more taxpayers, which means they should be able to lower tax rates for existing taxpayers like you. They got more people paying into the system, so they should make it easier on you, not harder on you.
That's right, and they don't seem to do it. And the legislature, what they say, Aaron, what the governor was talking about, a 1% tax relief
the governor's backing
1%. That's
the governor
any on a dollar.
Yeah, the governor's backing a homestead exemption, and it sounded like the Republicans and the Democrats in the legislature were supportive of a similar effort as well. They were backing this homestead exemption. And it looked on track about a month ago that would, what did he say, 15% reduction in your state property taxes? And now all of that is on ice. And it's like, my goodness, I'll tell you what, if they don't deliver significant property tax relief before wrapping up the legislative session, there's going to be hell to pay. Not only that, but like, let's get the income tax relief. I mean, I agree with my friend Henry Kriegel from Americans for Prosperity Montana that the income tax relief should be across the board income tax relief. There is a Republican majority in the House and the Senate. This, ever since I was a kid in the 1980s, across the board tax relief is the one thing you can get Republicans to agree on. Yet Republicans aren't agreeing on this in Helena right now. What the heck? And then what about judicial reform? I'll talk about that a little bit after the break. First, though, let's go to Pete in Missoula. Pete, what's your thoughts this morning?
Oh, you were talking about AI. You know what I think of? Were you alive in the 70s?
I wasn't.
I've
just
seen a movie called There's a movie called Colossus. The U.S. government, the Defense Department, got all their brains together, and they invented this giant computer, and it could run everything, run all our defenses, all our offenses, ran everything. Well, then, in pretty short order, they discovered that the Russians had stolen the technology, and they had a giant computer called Guardian. Now, these two computers insisted that they needed to be connected together, so that finally they threw their weight around until that happened. When they connected them together, it took them about 2 nanoseconds to decide they didn't need human beings.
There's a lot of reasons to be concerned with AI, right?
With AI, oh boy, I think of that every single time someone says AI. I think of old Colossus there.
Yeah, like it or not, here she comes, right? I mean, it's like any tool. It can be used for good or it can be used for bad. Hold that thought. Quick break.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
President Donald Trump this past week during a cabinet meeting suggested a new program that will be set up to legalize guest farm workers and reduce the risk of farmers and ranchers losing undocumented workers to mass deportations.
We're also going to work with farmers that if they have strong recommendations for their farms for certain people, we're going to let them stay in for a while and work with the farmers and then come back and go through a legal process. But we have to take care of our farmers and hotels and, you know, various places where they need the people.
Trump suggested undocumented workers would be given a chance to self-deport and return to the country illegally.
A farmer will come in with a letter concerning certain people saying they're great, they're working hard. We're going to slow it down a little bit for them. And then we're going to ultimately bring them back. They'll go out. They're going to come back as legal workers. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
USDA reports 42% of crop workers, roughly 500,000 people, are undocumented, many of whom are settled rather than migrant. There were, however, over 380,000 legal guest H-2A farm workers in the U.S. during fiscal year 2024. Trump told the Secretary of Agriculture and Homeland Security they would be working on the issue. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. You can also send us a message on the Montana Talks app. What about judicial reform? And heck, throw in property tax relief, throw in income tax relief while you're at it as well. On Friday's show, I was telling you about an explosive video that was uncovered by the Montana Freedom Caucus. The Montana Freedom Caucus shared this video of Democrat State Senator Cora Newman bragging about the fact that she is essentially running some of these Republicans. She was bragging on camera. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we Democrats, we're working with these Republicans over here, and we're getting them to block pro-life bills, and we're getting them to block judicial reform, and then we're working with some Republicans in the House, too. She was openly bragging about how they are running the table with some of these Republicans, which is kind of interesting because I think it already started to backfire on them as early as Saturday, from what I'm hearing out of Helena. I think, you know, because you guys have heard a lot about the nine Republicans in the state Senate that have been voting with Democrats on key rules and committee assignments. And now we read that they're also effectively working with Democrats to put people on these conference committees to negotiate the differences between House passed bills and Senate passed bills. But it's more than just the nine. I mean, on different pieces of legislation, you might have a Republican senator here or there who votes this way or that way or votes on an amendment. The gig is up now. They all are onto her game, and they know that she can't be trusted because she went bragging on camera about the fact that, oh, yeah, I'm playing these Republicans. Well, over the weekend, I saw the Montana Freedom Caucus sent out an update. Actually, no, this just came out this morning. Or no, this came out Saturday. Yeah, there we go. Get my dates. This is their update, though, for Monday, April 14th, today. The Montana Freedom Caucus is now claiming, they said, quote, "It is common knowledge in the Capitol that the governor is pulling the strings on the Nasty Nine and the House Rhinos." And then they said, see the post from State Senator Jeremy Tribus below. And Senator Tribus, a Republican out of Great Falls, basically is claiming that the governor's budget director has made deals in order to vote down the partisan judge bills, some of the judicial reform measures. So anyway, I reached out to the governor's office to see if they had a response to the claim that the governor is blocking judicial reform bills. And here's the response I got back from Caitlin Price, the deputy communications director for the governor. She says this. She says, "That is one heck of a conspiracy theory. The governor has been consistently clear, including in his State of the State address, that Montana needs judicial reform. If the governor had the kind of power over the legislature that some conspiracy theorists believe, the legislature would have delivered permanent, meaningful property and income tax by now, and avoided adding millions of dollars to the governor's budget." So that's a response from the governor's office. Is, hey, he, and if you recall, in his State of the State address, He did it right there with these Supreme Court, liberal Supreme Court justices sitting right in front of him. He called for judicial reform very clearly. All right, let's go to next up on the phone lines here, Matt in Laurel. Matt, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, and I just went and picked up my taxes. And not super happy with the state of Montana right now. Found out that they had, I don't know if it's this legislator or the one before, but they had removed the ability to file as single instead of joint married, and it cost me $3,000 this year. So I usually get a little bit back from the state, which kind of balances out the money I owe the Fed, and not this year. This year I'm actually owe more to the state of Montana than I do to the federal government.
So that's what you owe. Do you know how much you paid this year in overall taxes compared to what you paid in overall taxes last year?
I paid more. I actually increased my withholdings.
You did increase your withholdings. Okay.
Both federal and state, because I was paying too much. And I talked to my accountant this morning, had an appointment with them, and they said the main reason is because they changed the brackets. And they also changed, again, that ability to file married separately. So now you can only file or only do your taxes as married jointly like you do with your federal. And that is what ended up costing me.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let me see. I think we do have the audio. Hey, Caden, don't worry. Caden, you don't need to cut that down because I can search it directly in our AI platform here. So I interviewed. Thanks for the call, Matt. I appreciate that. Yeah, because I know there's several people who are in your same situation. So last session, they passed a tax simplification bill to simplify taxes and tax preparation to mirror more of the feds. And so, as I understand it, there's a couple of issues. One, some of the deductions went away. Two is if you were somebody who typically would do married filing jointly with your federal, but then married filing separately for your state, that created an issue for some people. But the other big thing for a lot of people, apparently not for Matt Laurel, because he said no, he withheld more. The withholding tables put up, that caused a lot of challenges. A lot of people, their employers did not withhold, or they didn't have enough money withheld from their paycheck. And so they might be owing money on their state tax return this year, when in previous years they probably got a refund. And so a lot of people are saying, well, why would that happen if they just lowered the tax rates the last session and the session before? Now, if you ask me, this is exactly why, another reason why we need to across the board income tax relief and to lower that percentage down into the fours, similar to what Governor Greg Gianforte has supported here. But yeah, I spoke with State Senator Greg Hertz about that. Caden, if you remember which day that was, I can probably go back and look and just do a search on it real fast to pull up a relevant soundbite that where Greg Hertz gives a good State Senator Greg Hertz gives a good explanation on it. All right. In the meantime, and full audio on our Montana Talks podcast. In the meantime, let's go to Tom in Bozeman. Tom, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
And just a couple of things. Number one, one of the big reasons why they do not want to expedite the return of these illegals is they could drag this process out into 2030. When they do a census, they count people, not citizens. So if you've got millions of extra people living in L.A., Chicago, New York, that means extra congressional seats, and extra congressional seats means extra Democrats in Congress, and that also means extra electoral votes for president. So even if these illegals were not allowed to vote per se under state law, they're going to get counted in the census, even if they're subsequently returned. But by being counted in the census, it's going to give Democrats additional representation and electoral votes based upon a legal residence. So you know, this is nothing but a big scam. And secondly, as to, partisan judicial elections, you know, people question how we could vote for a conservative legislature and we could vote for a conservative executive branch, but we've got, you know, people will vote for liberal Supreme Court justices. That's because they don't know when there's a designation, Democrat, Republican, you know what you're voting for, and you know what you think you're going to get. But when it's bipartisan, no designation, people have no idea what they're going to get. And the person who wins is the person who has the deepest pockets. And the Trial Lawyers Association and out-of-state money, these Supreme Court elections in Montana, 90% of the money that comes into Democrat campaigns comes from out-of-state, because these out-of-state interests, they know the judiciary is their last bulwark to stand against the will of the people.
Yeah, so again, they use it as veto power over everything. They think of themselves like kings, like monarchs, like an imperial court that can just throw out anything they don't like. And then your point, yeah, which is why judicial reform needs to get done here before they wrap up, along with property tax relief, income tax relief, and more. But yeah, I mean, Stephen Miller had a great post. If you haven't seen it yet, go to x.com/Aaron Flint. Biden imported 15 million plus illegals in 4 years. It would take centuries to go through the entire court process with every single one of these illegal alien invaders, which is what the left wants. Montana.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Al Kelly in Glasgow had a good reminder. I just checked the messages here. He had a good reminder. You know, when you're talking about AI and AI and things, some ranchers out here may not know what you're talking about. They know a whole other kind of AI. So, yeah, might want to tell them you're talking about artificial intelligence and not artificial insemination. But, yeah, we were joking earlier about these AI action figures that people are creating and how you can, you know, even throw in your old accessories and things like that. Somebody's got to make one for our friend Frank in Malta. Get a good photo of Frank head to toe, get a picture of his Batmobile car, and then we want, you know, Frank, we want his Batman action figure. And this would be classic. You could have the Bat belt, you know, the Batmobile, his car, the picture of his car could be one of the accessories in the action figure thing. That'd be great. Let's see. Speaking of accessories, if you're somebody who, you know, works hard and plays hard, and then you get those aches and pains from working hard and playing hard, but you need some energy, let me tell you about Power Plus Pain Aid. Lee is a Marine Corps veteran, lives in Big Fork, Montana, and he created this product. It's called Power Plus Pain Aid. It's got natural pain relief in it, some vitamins. It's got power. It's got the energy. So you get more gain, less pain, drug-free pain relief. It's made in America. It's third-party tested. And if you go to their website right now or right after the show, go to drinkpowerplus.com. You can get 15% off by entering Flint15 at checkout. So that's the code to get 15% off. Flint15 at drinkpowerplus.com. Back into the phone lines we go. Yeah, tomorrow is tax day. If you haven't heard yet, or if you haven't felt the pinch yet, tomorrow is tax day. Cuesta in Cardwell, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to just kind of weigh in on this, these changes in taxes, and I feel like we've gotten sniped by our legislators in this change that they did, because I have the same exact situation I did last year, and I got a return from the state, and now I'm paying $3,000 out to the state.
Whoa.
My brother, who works for the county and does not have his own business, he didn't change a thing, and he's now paying out where last year he got a return. And he's gone to his accountant, he's gone to his HR people, and they can't, nobody can figure it out. And I think we need answers from our legislators, because we're supposed to be getting tax breaks, not paying more at the state level.
Yeah, so it sounds like maybe he was in the situation where the withholding tables didn't get, weren't done right. But your situation, Gal, being, a business owner, yeah, you took a real hit there.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like I said, as business owners, my husband and I, we filed jointly. We did all the things we've done every single year, and everything came out as expected from the feds, but we got a reverse bill from the state, basically, and nobody can really answer as to what happened.
So I'm
a little suspect.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And which to me is another reason why they need to lower the rates all around across the board once again, especially because of whatever pain people might have gotten from the simplification bill the last go around. Great to hear from you. Thanks for your service. Always good to hear from you. Cuesta in Cardwell. So I threw these questions to State Senator Greg Hertz, and the full audio is on our Montana Talks podcast, I think from last Wednesday. But so it sounds like there's two things going on. One is some people are paying more, like they owe on their tax return instead of getting money back. And that's because of, withholding tables, whether it was these third-party vendors or what. But it does seem like there's also a category that because of the tax simplification that they also, that they are going to end up paying a little bit more. Here's what State Senator Greg Hertz, and thanks to our producer Caden for sharing the audio. Here is where he is talking about how doing away with some of the deductions might have snagged some people.
So the first thing we did is we matched the federal standard deduction. If you're single, you get $15,000. If you're married, you get $30,000. So that just took a lot of people off. No more deductions anymore. But there were some special deductions that we had in Montana, like health insurance that you were paying on your own. There was a federal tax deduction of $5,000 maximum for single, $10,000 for married. But when we ran the model, a lot of that was that increased standard deduction going from about $5,000 for a single up to $15,000. And the same 30 for a married couple, that took care of most of those, but there were a few people who kind of got hung up and ended up owing some more.
Yeah, because, a lot of people, what they do is they might file their federal taxes, married filing jointly, but then for the state, it could be advantageous to do married filing separately. And I understand that was kind of a category where they noticed that they might have had an issue with withholdings or something of that effect.
Well, that was under the old rules, too. So when we went to filing jointly, we adjusted the joint rates, just like they are in the federal. So it was more advantageous to file jointly. I think some of the problem is people are comparing current law with previous law, where they were allowed to use married filing separately on the same form. But then also, your standard deduction changes considerably when you do that. And so there's just a lot of confusion out there. I think people are not comparing apples to apples, but we're going to go forward here. We're going to reduce income taxes again this session, and I'm hoping to make them retroactively to January 1st of 2025 to really help individuals. And it looks like in the middle.
All right. So, yeah, that's what needs to happen, if you ask me. They've got to help make this retroactive, especially for the people who might have taken a hit following simplification.